very excited to be talking with renowned MMA fighter David the Crow Loazo. And I got to be honest, a few years ago when I was kind of down on the sport of mixed martial arts, I'd say, you know, 8 years ago, this was the man that got me back into it. Growing up in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, there weren't a lot of local stars as there are right now. And once the Crow hit the scene, it seemed as though the sport of mixed martial arts really blew up in Eastern Canada. And he's still going strong today. So we're really excited to have him here on JerryPark.com. And David, I want to thank you for taking the time. How's everything going?
Everything's going well, man. Everything's great. Thanks for having me on your show, man. I appreciate it.
All right, cool. So, you know, first off, let's talk a bit about your career. And, you know, the last time we saw you competing was in May of this past year in the Art of War promotion. Finally got a win under your belt after a string of a couple of tough losses. When are we going to see you back fighting in the world of mixed martial arts?
Well, the reason why it's been such a long layoff is because I had surgery. I broke my hand in the first round of that fight on May 11th, so I needed surgery, you know. So I had surgery, and it took me like 2 months off training, and then it's been physio since then, you know, physiotherapy, and now I'm back 100%. And I'm scheduled to fight on January 12th.
For which promotion?
Yeah, it's called WCO. It'll be in San Diego, California.
Now, this is the first time you'll actually be fighting for WCO. Who will you be fighting there? And I'm guessing you'll be fighting a middleweight. Will it be for some sort of title or anything? Or, you know, care to elaborate on it?
Yeah. No opponent yet, but it will be for WCO middleweight title. And, but I don't know who the opponent is yet.
All right, so the other news that has been involving you is that you've been getting into the promotion side of things, starting the Extreme MMA promotion in Quebec. You just had your second show this past week. How's that been going, and what can we expect from them?
It's a show for up-and-coming fighters that need some exposure and some ring time. You know, we're not trying to be the Canadian UFC. You know, we're just... We're just helping out the up-and-coming fighters, and that's it. You know, we're just putting together exciting fights for the fans, and you know, we're a small promotion. We know we're growing, but I'm not really doing this full time. You know, I'm a fighter full time. You know, I'm just doing it for fun. You know, just to help out. You know, the up-and-coming fighters. In Canada.
That was actually my next question, because when I heard that you were getting involved with Extreme MMA and then we hadn't seen you, I know you had the injury and the surgery, I thought that this was going to be, you know, the beginning of your sort of transition into retirement and, you know, going into the front office, so to speak, but you have no interest.
No way. I have too much to offer as a fighter to do it part-time. I got to focus. You know, I'm actually very focused right now, training hard. You know, I was just in New Mexico training with Rashad Evans for his fight. You know, now I'm back home training with my people at TriStar and BTT Canada, and I'm just improving all the time. So all is great, you know.
Yeah, and we're going to get to that training in just a second, but I wanted to talk to you about your time with Elite XC, because you were on the debut show and in this past February, and before the show, I had read reports that you had signed a 3-fight deal with them, and then there were some sort of talks that you were actually going to fight on the Cage Rage show that was going to be happening this weekend. Obviously, that's not happening. What's the latest between your relationship with Elite XC and Gary Shaw?
I can't really talk too much about what's going on, but I don't think I'll be fighting for them anytime soon, and I gotta keep it like that for now.
So are you done with them? There's no more relationship?
Oh, for now, I'm not gonna. I won't be fighting for them.
Was there something in particular that happened between you guys? I know you can't elaborate on it too much, but was there something that happened behind the scenes that you'd care to share?
No, I can't talk about anything.
Okay. No problem. You know, after your first appearance, for Elite XC, and you're coming off the tough losses in the UFC, and I'm sure you've heard about it. I'm sure it's no news to you. There were a lot of people, a lot of MMA analysts that were sort of questioning your heart. Obviously, as a fighter, that's you got to take that personally. What did you think of everyone that was saying that maybe you weren't putting out your best performances when you really should have?
Well, you know, it happens to every fighter, you know, to have problems, you know, in his head when he goes out there and fight. And everybody's human, and actually, just try and go out there and fight Rich Franken for 5 rounds and get beat up and just stay in there, you know, and not quit, you know. And then it's not easy, man. You know, it's a tough sport, and I had some issues I had to deal with, and that's it. You know, it's people. I think a lot of people make a fight or a loss way bigger than it is. You know, so many guys, so many fighters. You know, they're only as good as their last fight. You know, that's the thing with MMA. You know, you're only as good as your last fight. You can have a streak of exciting wins. And as soon as you have one loss, you know, you're no good. So, you know, I'm just going to keep training, keep focused. You know, I don't really listen to people that talk bad stuff about me, you know, because what is it going to do? It's not going to help me get better, you know. I just have to focus and try to improve my game, you know. That's all.
Yeah, this sport is very much a what have you done for me lately kind of sport. And, you know, just witness the fact that you were on this a great streak within the UFC, winning multiple fights in a row. And then all of a sudden you lose to, you know, Rich Franklin, the champ, in a tough 5-round battle. And then a 3-round decision to Mike Swick. And then that's it. You're gone. And I have to admit that after, you know, the announcement that you and the UFC had severed ties, it seemed that it, from my perspective...
Oh, no, we didn't do that. They kicked me out.
All right.
They cut me. You know?
I was trying to be polite and to make it nice. But,
yeah.
Okay, fine, they released you. It seemed as though you took it very personally. And, you know, there were multiple interviews and articles written about it, that you were hurt after just 2 losses that they would cut you. What was their reasoning behind that? Why after just 2 losses would they choose to go a different direction?
I think they weren't satisfied with the way I performed. You know, they expect a lot from me, and they weren't happy. So that's it. Because a lot of guys lose, you know, 2 fights. You know, a lot of guys get finished, get submitted, get knocked out. You know, and they keep bringing him back. But I don't know. I lost 2 decision losses, and I don't know, they're hard on me, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
There's a lot of guys out there that lose 2 fights in a row. I mean,
of course.
You know, just look at Chuck Liddell, and you know, obviously they have a lot invested in him, but it just seemed very quick in terms of a decision. And also, you know, right now the middleweight division within the UFC is one that you can make a case is very short on talent right now. And it seems as though you could be a guy that could try to, you know, I'm not just blowing smoke up your butt, but you seem to be a guy that could use that opportunity in the UFC. And, you know, for outside of Dan Henderson, there really aren't that many contenders or guys that could go up against Anderson Silva.
Yeah, well, you know, everything happens for a reason, and I know I'll be back in the UFC, and things will come together. You know, I'm a hard worker. I haven't stopped training once, you know, except for these 8 weeks that I wasn't allowed to train, you know, because of I had, like, pins. I had wires in my hands, and the doctor told me it was very dangerous for an infection for me to train if I sweated. So I wasn't allowed to sweat at all for 8 weeks, you know. So, yeah, I haven't stopped training. I haven't stopped working. And, you know, sooner or later, things will come together, and I'll be back. I'll be back in UFC.
Since you've left the UFC a couple of years ago, have you spoken to them, Joe Silva, Dana White, anyone in the front office about potentially the road?
My management, they've been talking to the UFC people, and you know, it's not easy, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Did they ever approach you about being on, you know, one of the reality shows? There's, you know, there was the comeback show where maybe that would have been a good way for you to get back into it. Was that ever talked about?
No, not the comeback, because I was in the UFC when the comeback was shot. So I was still in the UFC, so.
All right, cool. Yeah, I got my timeline mixed up there. There are a lot of new promotions coming out. You know, like the IFL has been around for 2 years. You have HDNet Fights now. Have any of those guys ever contacted you? Because you seem to be, you know, obviously a big name, and they're looking to establish themselves. Could be a good fit with one of those.
My management is in talk with a lot of people, but it's not easy, you know. We got to pick the right fights, because the goal is to go back to the UFC, you know. A lot of people, a lot of promotions want to lock us in, you know. They want to have exclusive contracts, you know, and we don't want to do that because the goal is to go back to the UFC.
So now, as you mentioned, you've been training. You've been doing a lot of work with Greg Jackson's camp in Albuquerque, as well as in Montreal at the famous TriStar Gym. And, you know, one of your good buddies, George St. Pierre, just last week was announced that he'll be fighting Matt Hughes, replacing Matt Serra on December 29th. I mean, what do you think of that matchup? And in terms of GSP's training, because obviously you could talk about it as well as anyone, how far along is he and how ready is he for the matchup in a month?
He's never stopped training, you know. George never stopped training, and he's always improving. George is ready 110%. You know, just the conditioning is there, the strategy, everything's there, you know. He always trains. You know, there's a lot of guys with his talent, you know, that you know, they train but not all year round, but George trains all year round. He doesn't take time off. So he might take a week off after a fight to heal up, but that's about it. Then he's back in the gym, regular schedule, you know. So he's always basically in training camp. So he's ready.
Just this past week, George was on the Fight Network radio, and he mentioned that he won't be going to New Mexico to train for this fight, maybe because it's in such a short time and he needs to, you know, maximize all his training days. But a lot of guys will be coming to Montreal to train with him, and you're going to be one of those guys. What do you think of the decision? Why was that made to not go to New Mexico and stay in Montreal? Because obviously the training for the Josh Koscheck fight a few months ago in New Mexico worked so well.
Oh, well, the thing is that it's too short notice to just go to New Mexico and get used to the altitude and all that stuff. You know, when you're close to a fight, when you're a month close to a fight, you know, it's better, like, according to us, you know, it's better to stay where you've been, you know. Like George didn't do the whole training camp in New Mexico for the Koscheck fight. He went there a couple of weeks, but like 3 weeks before the fight, he was in Montreal, you know.
So honestly now, and I know he's one of your great friends, when you see everything that's going on with George, and he's winning the titles, and he's, you know, one of the, probably pound for pound, one of the best fighters in the UFC, at one point you were kind of envisioned to be one of those guys. I mean, this guy from Montreal who was just blowing through everyone, and then, you know, as we spoke, a few things happened along the way. Is there something deep down inside of you that is just... it's just like it's a bit sour that you think that you could be that guy and you wish that you were in that spotlight right now as well?
No, nothing sour. I know I'm going to be that guy too, you know. I'm just focused and determined to finish what I started, you know, which is go back to the UFC and eventually win the title, you know. I'm not there's nothing sour about that, seeing your friend. Actually, it's inspiring. When I see George fighting and winning and being the person he is, he inspires me, you know. He helps me push myself, you know, like push myself and train harder, you know. We've always been like that, you know. We're sidekicks, man. There's no nothing sour in there, you know.
All right, David, thank you so much for joining us. You got the big fight in January, sort of your return for 2008 at WCO in San Diego. And like you said, you know, we really hope to see you back in the UFC and to start gaining that momentum again, because the Crow was the man that first got us hooked to MMA many years ago. So thank you very much for taking the time, and we hope to speak with you again very soon.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it.